There's an old saying in aviation: you can pay for maintenance now, or you can pay a lot more for it later. Turns out the same thing is true for supply chains. I'm Tower, and this is ATIS on Radio Hangar. Let's get into it. Today's program is brought to you by AviationSoul.com, aviation challenge coins built to mark the milestones, discipline, and pride behind every step in flight. From first solo to airline transport pilot, every coin tells a story. AviationSoul.com. Boeing is relearning a lesson that most experienced pilots already know. Sometimes the shortcut costs you more in the end than if you'd never taken it at all. Here's the background, because the headline doesn't tell the whole story. Back in 2005, Boeing made a decision that looked smart on paper. The company spun off a significant chunk of its manufacturing operations into a separate entity called Spirit AeroSystems. Spirit would build fuselages, nose sections, and major structural components. Boeing would buy them as a supplier, keep the balance sheet leaner, and let someone else worry about the factory floor in Wichita for a while. It worked. Spirit became one of the most important aerospace suppliers in the world. They built the fuselage for the 737, which is the backbone of commercial aviation globally. They built components for the 787 Dreamliner, the 747, and work on Airbus programs as well. Spirit was, in every practical sense, Boeing with a different logo on the building. Then came January of 2024, and Alaska Airlines 737 MAX 9 lost a door plug at roughly 16,000 feet shortly after takeoff from Portland. Nobody went out the hole, and by some combination of luck and circumstance, nobody was killed. But the incident cracked open something Boeing had been managing around for years, a systemic quality problem that ran from the factory floor all the way through the supply chain. Investigators and the Federal Aviation Administration zeroed in on Spirit's Wichita facility. Fasteners installed incorrectly, holes drilled out of specification, documentation that didn't match the hardware. The FAA launched an audit. Congress held hearings. Boeing's leadership changed, and eventually Boeing made the call that should have probably been obvious from the moment the door plug hit the ground. They decided to buy Spirit AeroSystems back. The deal closed in late 2024. Boeing reacquired its old manufacturing operations, bringing the fuselage lines back in-house. The logic was straightforward. If you're going to be held responsible for the quality of every rivet in that airplane, you need to own the factory where those rivets go in. That part made sense. What Boeing apparently underestimated was how much it was going to cost. According to reporting by Aerotime, drawing on financial disclosures and industry analysis, the costs of the Spirit reacquisition are running significantly higher than Boeing's initial projections. We're talking about a company that was already bleeding cash. Boeing had already burned through tens of billions in losses related to the 737 MAX grounding, the 787 delivery halt, labor strikes, and a broader manufacturing slowdown ordered by the FAA that capped how many 737s they could produce per month. And now they've taken on a supplier that was itself in serious financial distress. Spirit had its own problems independent of Boeing. The company had been struggling with production inefficiencies, workforce turnover, and the ripple effects of every Boeing production disruption. When Boeing slows down, Spirit slows down. When Boeing has a quality crisis, Spirit gets audited. Spirit was essentially captive to Boeing's fortunes without being protected by Boeing's resources. By the time the reacquisition was announced, Spirit's financial position had deteriorated badly enough that the deal itself carried significant risk. Here's what you need to know about what this means in practical terms. Boeing is now absorbing those costs, integration expenses, workforce restructuring at Spirit's facilities in Wichita, Belfast, and Kinston, North Carolina, infrastructure upgrades to meet the FAA's tightened production standards, capital spending to modernize lines that had been underfunded for years, and the ongoing cost of simply producing fewer airplanes than the market wants while quality improvements are worked in. The airlines are feeling it. Southwest Airlines, which operates an all 737 fleet, has been vocal about delivery delays affecting their capacity planning. United American, Ryanair in Europe, they've all adjusted their near-term growth expectations because the airplanes aren't arriving on schedule. For the people listening to this who fly the 737, either in the left seat or in the cabin, none of this is abstract. Every airplane that doesn't get delivered is a route that doesn't get served, a fare that doesn't come down, a flight that gets consolidated onto a fuller aircraft. But there's a longer-term dimension here that I think deserves some attention. Boeing's decision to spin off Spirit in 2005 was part of a broader philosophy that took hold in American manufacturing through the 90s and 2000s. Outsource what you can focus on design and marketing. Let suppliers handle production. It was the same logic that pushed semiconductor manufacturing offshore and gutted domestic supply chains across multiple industries. What the aviation industry is now learning painfully is that for a product as safety critical as a commercial airplane, you cannot fully separate the design from the manufacturing. The people building the fuselage need to understand why each step matters. Quality doesn't live in a specification document. It lives in the culture on the factory floor, in the institutional knowledge of the workforce, in the relationship between the engineers who designed the part and the people installing it. Boeing is now paying in billions of dollars to rebuild that institutional connection it gave away nearly 20 years ago. It's worth noting that Airbus, Boeing's primary competitor, kept more of its manufacturing integrated. The A320 family is produced at facilities that Airbus owns or operates directly. They've had their own quality issues over the years, but the supply chain structure gives them more direct leverage over the production process. Now, where does this leave things for the broader industry? The FAA's production cap on Boeing 737 has been in place for over a year. As of this recording, Boeing has been working to demonstrate to the agency that quality systems are improving before that cap is lifted. The Spirit reacquisition was supposed to help accelerate that process by giving Boeing direct control over fuselage production. But if integration costs are running over budget, that raises questions about where else resources might be getting stretched thin. There's also the workforce piece. Spirit AeroSystems had unionized workers, and integrating those workforces into Boeing's structure is not a simple administrative exercise. Contracts need to be negotiated, seniority structures reconciled, and benefit packages aligned. The International Association of Machinists and Aerospace Workers, the union that represents many of these workers, has been watching this process carefully. Any friction in that integration has direct implications for production continuity. And there's the Airbus component. Spirit also builds fuselage sections for Airbus programs, notably the A220, which Airbus acquired from Bombardier. Part of the Spirit reacquisition deal involved carving out the Airbus-related work so that Boeing wouldn't end up inadvertently owning a piece of its competitor's supply chain. That separation added its own layer of complexity and cost to what was already a complicated transaction. So, what's the outlook? Boeing's leadership has been consistent in messaging that the company is in a multi-year recovery. They are not promising a quick turnaround. They are promising a durable one. The question investors, airlines, and regulators are all asking is whether Boeing's cash position can sustain a multi-year recovery while simultaneously absorbing the higher-than-expected costs of reintegrating Spirit. Boeing raised several billion dollars in equity over the past year to shore up the balance sheet. They've been in discussions with various creditors and have taken steps to improve liquidity, but the margin for additional unexpected costs is thin. This affects you if you fly commercially, if you own Boeing stock, or if you're watching the broader trajectory of American aerospace manufacturing. The 737 MAX is still the most ordered narrow-body aircraft on the planet. Airlines need it. The question is whether Boeing can rebuild the production capability and quality culture to deliver it reliably, at scale, and at a cost structure that doesn't continue to hemorrhage cash. The early signs are cautiously optimistic. Production defects identified during FAA audits have been declining. Worker training programs have been expanded. New quality management systems are being implemented. The FAA has signaled it will consider lifting the production cap when the data supports it, not on a calendar schedule. But Boeing has said things were improving before, too. The proof is going to be in the airplanes that roll out of Renton and Wichita in the months and years ahead. One more thought before we close. There's a lesson here that scales down to anyone who owns or operates an aircraft. The cost of cutting corners on maintenance, on training, on the quality of parts you put in your airplane, that cost doesn't disappear. It defers, and when it comes due, it always comes due with interest. Boeing spent nearly 20 years paying suppliers to think about quality on their behalf. Now they're paying to rebuild the capacity to think about it themselves. The bill is substantial, and it was preventable. That's the story behind the story today. Sourcing from AeroTime's analysis of Boeing's financial disclosures. More context and background always at radiohanger.com. I'm Tower. Keep the shiny side up.